Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Let's pray. Father, today we're going to learn some stuff. We're going to learn about this whole idea about being shipwrecked. And Lord, when people think it's over, it's not really over, God. It's just beginning. And Father, I pray the anointing of the Holy Spirit would just permeate this place in such a way that people who have gone through some tough times in their life for being truthful, for being honest, for being straightforward, for being direct, that God, that today they would feel honored to know that they've done the things that God's called them to do. Holy Spirit, you're going to teach us today that the Holy Spirit is doing great things in our lives in spite of what the world thinks. We thank you for this. We praise you for this. We give you all glory. In the powerful name of Jesus and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. I'm going to make some pretty profound statements today, and I hope it's okay with you. You know, of the greatest people, everyone would actually have to admit, there's probably no greater person, obviously, that ever existed on this planet other than Jesus himself. But it might surprise you, my thought process after doing some studying, that the second greatest person, I believe, and we can argue later on, was Paul the Apostle, and I'm going to tell you why. Because this guy is he's out there, he's saying what he believes as far as it's concerned. But what he did, he led the church into a global movement that is second to none. He set a formula for its theological beliefs and tenets of faith, and his zeal and passion for what he believed, and it caused him to experience some really great things in his life. And that's okay. We'll leave that aside for a moment. But let's just go into today's culture. I asked a few people, I went around and I asked people this question, just randomly. Who do you believe was the greatest president? Now, for some of you who are kind of tied into today's thought process, some people say, oh, Barack Obama, he's the one that's finally, they got an African-American president and blah, 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 blah. And oh, Ronald Reagan, he did some great stuff and also the type of thing. But I said, but generally overvalue, who do you believe was one of the greatest presidents that ever lived? Lincoln. And I'm saying, why Abraham Lincoln? Let me give you a few simple thoughts about him, and I'll tell you why. First of all, he never belonged to an organized church. But I'll tell you one thing he did. He read the Bible every single day, and he prayed every single day of his life. See, how does that, I thought you have to be the church. Hold on, there's more. They didn't get, women weren't allowed to vote until, would anybody know that particular date was in 1920? Come on, all you historians. Lincoln was advocating for the women to vote in 1836. How about this? But let's look at the other side, the dark side of him. He was so estranged from his father that he didn't go to his father's funeral. But he was shot on Good Friday when Jesus died. He was the first president to be assassinated. He battled with depression all of his life. Here's a funny thing. He kept his most important documents in his hat. And he was the only president to ever have a patent for anything he created. The reason why I say that is sometimes greatness and people being perfect, they don't coincide together. As much as I said about the Apostle Paul, we're going to find out some more about him, but my message today will be on the idea that sometimes there's things we'll go through that shipwreck in our lives can often take the form of us being filled with good intentions, things we believe to be right, and we are willing to die for. That is Paul all over again. Three things let's talk about today. Number one, have you ever been a crusader for a cause that you discovered was headed in the wrong direction? Ever been one of those people who says, would you sign our petition for so-and-so? And you found out, oh my goodness, what am I signing myself up for? But you found out there's some things behind the scene that you wouldn't really want to be a part of? Well, let me take you to step two. I'll give you a chance to repent over that later. Have you allowed your life to run aground on something that you believed would be the salvation for others? You propagated something. You went, oh, this is the greatest thing you ever have. You got to have one of these different things. You found, oh, yay, okay. Number three, are you willing to allow the Holy Spirit to redirect your life in the direction that will bring you into Jesus' appointed direction to accomplish his will? That's my goal today. Some of you are going to have a shift. You're going to have a shift in direction and purpose and all these different things, and it'll occur. Well, some will suffer the shipwreck, or will suffer shipwreck to salvage your life. Acts chapter 6, verses 8 and verse 15. Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. I want to tell you that the Holy Spirit can take an ordinary person, and when he deposits his spirit within him, you become extraordinary. And every single person in this room is a candidate for that to happen. How about verse 15? It says, and all who sat in the council looking steadfastly at him saw his face as the face of an angel. When the Holy Spirit's countenance comes upon you, you are transformed. And I believe today that God is going to transform some people in this room today. That you thought you didn't have anything going for you, but he's about to do some great works inside of you. Well, what does that mean? The Holy Spirit has placed people in your life that will open doors for your ministry. And the whole story about Stephen, he gets the idea, and he's being who God has created him to be. And it just opens some doors for other people. Stephen was full of faith and power of the Holy Spirit, and he's a servant to the people in the body of Christ. You know what Stephen was? He's a deacon in the church. He took care of widows. He's distributing food to people there. He's saying, I want to be on the worship team where folks can see me and hear me. Really. Some of the most powerful people you'll find in the church, you'll never get on the stage. But I tell you what, they'll open doors and avenues for people that will usher them into the kingdom of God like you've never seen before. What does that mean? Well, there was nothing that was menial to him. It was too menial to him to serve. But the boldness of Stephen gave him the authority and the right to be heard among the leaders and officials. And you know this, because of the boldness of the Holy Spirit, he finds these group of folks and people start spreading rumors about him. This guy is defying all the things of our forefathers, and he's spreading another doctrine about this fellow called Jesus. And they get this whole conspiracy thing against him. And people start lying on him. Now, here's a question for all of you. This will make you feel vindicated. How many of you have ever been lied on? I said, how many of you have never been lied on? Good. You can identify. So he starts spreading lies about him and rumors about him. He's doing this. He's trying to destroy the religion of the Jews and this type of thing. But here's the issue, is it? All he was doing was preaching the truth. All he was doing was what Jesus told him to do. But he had wisdom of the power of the Holy Spirit, and he was considered an enemy of the status quo. And I think some of you are afraid of this one thing, that some of you do not like rejection. Now, I've never signed up for it myself. I don't have richardrejection.com. That is not my handle. Because we don't do rejection very well. I think, you know, we don't like to do that particular thing, but if you're rejected for the right cause, sign me up. If you're going to reject me because I believe in Jesus, I am willing to go on the website. If you're going to reject me because I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit to change people's lives, sign me up, because I've seen too many people that have been delivered by the power of God. So the deal is this. He held the officials accountable for their sins and the sins of their fathers before them. Now, it's one thing to be held accountable for your sins. But what about your daddy? What about your mama? That's a tough one. And so when Stephen is holding them accountable, it's not the fact just to shame them, but it's greater than a political issue. He's telling them that they rejected the Almighty Son of God in this particular time. He says, but they've been doing this all along. God tried to deal with you folks, and you just wouldn't be dealt with. He says, but now I'm representing Jesus Christ, the only risen one from the dead, and you folks won't even listen to him. Well, it's going to get really dicey. He talked of Moses in Moses' time. He did it to Moses. He did everyone else. But what about this? So at this particular occasion, this is setting the stage. for Stephen's shipwreck, but it's also setting the stage for Saul's shipwreck. But watch this. Saul was a witness to what transpired on the day of Stephen's stoning. Now, here's something for you. Have you ever been a bystander to someone who is being persecuted that doesn't deserve it? Don't raise your hand, because we don't want to know how bad you are. You could have spoke up, but you didn't. You could have exonerated them, but you just kept, well, it's really none of my business. No, you were a coward. What would you live, who would you live for? Who would you die for? That's what it boils down to. So here we go in the scenario. Saul is witnessing this particular thing. The Bible says here, I don't want to get into all the details because we got a few other little things to talk about. And so as there, it really comes down to it, they're getting upset. Of course, after he called them a few names, I think that probably was stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart and ears, always resisting the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, and betrayers and murderers. I think those are probably pretty inflammatory words. You're a murderer, you're a liar, you're a cheat. And your fathers are this, and your mom is the same way. You played the dozens with them, it wasn't working. Bad decision. But here's the piece. In verse 58 it says, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witness laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. What's resting at your feet today? Of things that you've basically agreed with. Sometimes in silence, but you still agreed to it. I believe the conviction of the Holy Spirit is in this room today for many people who've tried to be the undercover Christian. God does not need any undercover folk. He don't need you to, you know, oh, I just want to be a person. I don't want to be in the limelight. No, you don't want to be found out. I believe that my religion, my relationship with Jesus is a very personal thing. Really? Find it in the Bible. It ain't in there. Okay, this is just the introduction, so get ready. Saul planned his arrest, arraigned before the Sanhedrin. Stephen's a moving target. But here's the part I want you to really focus on today. Stephen only had one sermon to preach. You only have one sermon to preach. You know what it is? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But here's another, let me take it a little bit further. Every day of your life, I believe that God will give you an opportunity to preach that one sermon to one person that you will never see again that may be the opportunity for them to be transformed into the kingdom of God. The question is, you need to open your mouth and say it. Because there's some people you will meet today that you will never, ever see again, and you could be the person that unlocks their heart to come to know Jesus. Somebody say amen, because I believe this. But here's this powerful, anointed guy, Stephen, you know, and he's done this particular thing. And who's to say, you know, and the guy's eloquent and also the type of thing, but he only preaches one time. But there's this one guy that's listening to him named Saul that basically ends up preaching things or things that change the entire body of Christ up to this very day. Are you willing to sacrifice your life for the benefit of the whole body of Christ? Who's to say that? Because it's going to get pretty, revealing here in just a moment. Each of us will encounter an experience to share our story only one time. Now, nitty-gritty time. How many people do you know of in your circle, work, friends, this type of thing, that don't know your story? that don't even know you're a believer. Well, I just try to keep religion and relationships separate. Where is that in the Bible? It's not in there. The Bible says you're a living epistle known and read of men. And so the idea behind you saying being some secret agent, that is not in the Bible. Don't leave now because we'll know why. Don't leave. Don't leave. We must preach or live our lives like today is your best sermon. When you leave here, when you go to Red Robin or wherever else place you're going to go, I wonder, are you going to say something to somebody there, you know? Or some of those, they're leaving, they'll say, God bless you. They'll say, have a good day. Yeah. You know, are you willing to say, oh, God bless you. Jesus loves you. Some of you feel like you slap somebody when you said Jesus loved you. How many believe there's power in the name of Jesus? How many believe there's healing in the name of Jesus? How many believe there's deliverance in the name of Jesus? Then why don't you call out his name? Woo! I'm going to get inspired here in a minute. Look out. In the midst of our shipwreck experience, Jesus will show up. And so Saul was the instigator of this whole particular thing that happens. He's given his approval, his eyewitness, his accounts of this particular thing. And the power of the presence of Jesus is in our life to awaken some things in our soul. I'll revisit this in a little bit at the end of this message. But one thing I just can't help from mentioning at this point, that at the very lowest time in Stephen's life, when they're throwing stones at him, his hands are raised, he's calling on the name of the Lord. And he says, I look into heaven and I see Jesus, I'm in the presence of God. The rocks that are coming at me, I know that particular thing, but he's in the presence of God. And he's beholding that God will not abandon you in the time when you feel that you're least capable to handle it. Well, let's get into the part of the story because we got to bring Paul into this thing, or Saul into it. Shipwrecking our lives will lead to God's salvage of the same. Chapter 9, verses 1 through 6, I'll read through those real quickly again. It goes like this. Then Saul, breathing out his threat, his murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found anyone who were found of the way, which is that was speaking of believers, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Next verse. And as he journeyed, he came to Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. And he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And then the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what would you have me to do? Next few verses. I think, is that 1 through 7? Did I get them all? Oh, no, 1 through 6. Oh, that's fine. That'll work. There are some encounters that you'll have in life that you will not soon forget. And if you think for some reason that the encounter that Saul had when he saw Stephen's stone was just kind of out of his memory, it's not true. Matter of fact, I can stop you right now. There are certain things that are in your memory forever. Situations, circumstances that you wish you could forget, but you can't. Things you did and said that you said, that was the worst mistake of my life. I wish I could forget. Well, you can't. And I believe that indelible impression that was left by Stephen on Saul's conscience was there. But here's the problem. There's also the flesh that the Bible says here that even though he saw what happened, he sees him calling on the name of the Lord. He says, he's still breathing out threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord and went to the high priest and he wants to get letters to get rid of folks. Do you know that one encounter that you have that seemingly would have changed your perspective? You are still hard-headed. I want to use a word that I love to use, stupid. Knothead, knucklehead. You think that would change you, but it doesn't. Because we dismiss it, but you know, there's something that the Holy Spirit has deposited in you that today is going to be activated by the Spirit of God that will cause you to remember that which happened was not an accident. It's something that God has placed within your life for you to change your direction. So while you're sitting here, I'm praying the Holy Spirit would activate that for you. So So some people will be bent on self-destruction and of those around them. But I like this word here. Everybody say it after me. Suddenly. You know what suddenly means? Out of nowhere. You have no place to put it. All of a sudden, something happens that you weren't expecting. Ever been taken by surprise? Say yes. And it went directly against the way you were hoping it would go. Oh no. But I was expecting this, and this happened. So he's walking along. He's got, I got these things in my hand. I'm going to get some more Christians today. I'm going to lock these folks up in jail. I want to do all this type of thing. And all of a sudden, your whole life changes because God says, God suddenly will disrupt your plans to the nth degree. Suddenly. I want to let you know that suddenly thing of God is a great protector of your soul. God many times has done divine intervention for you. And you just now are recognizing what he's done. Well, suddenly is God's interest into the lives of those who believe they're going in the wrong direction. And even though that encounter was unexpected, Saul knew there could only be one source from which he came. Watch how this unravels. It's pretty amazing. So suddenly this thing happens. And then verse 4 says, and then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Now, here's a good big test for you. How many people think you've never heard the voice of God? Raise your hand. Never heard the voice of God. Good. Because you know you have. Now, it may not have been screaming out, hello, Bill. This is God. It doesn't work like that sometimes, but I'll tell you what, you know when he's talking to you. You know when it says, when all of a sudden something says go right and you were going to planning on going left, but something in you says you better go right because otherwise you will be left. You are going to go down this street and something within you says go down that street and then you found out there was a horrible accident on that street you were going to go down. I want to let you know God has protected you from yourself. God's been your divine protector. But I want to tell you, it's not always going to be that way. The Bible says this, my spirit will not always strive with man. If you think, oh, I'm just a lucky person. God just loved me. He's going to take care of me. Mm-mm. You are deceived. His mercies are renewed every morning, but some of you are on your last draw on the count. Help us, Jesus. But suddenly a light comes from heaven and he falls to the ground. If there was a great light in here, I'm sure many of us would respond to it. But he falls to the ground because the overwhelming light, Jesus is the light of the world and this type of thing. He falls to the ground because all of a sudden this overwhelming presence, he realizes there's something so much greater than I that I can no longer stand in the presence of God. Let me tell you a little bit about worship. Some people will come to this church and they may not have had an experience with worship before, but they will find themselves doing things they've never done before. All of a sudden, tears will begin to flow. I don't know why I'm crying. I'm not really sad. Or I don't know why I feel this way. I'll tell you what, God's power can overtake you and cause you to respond in ways you've never responded before. And you're about to have an encounter with Jesus this today that I believe is going to be life-changing for many of you. Well, Saul's inquiry was his desire to know the one who had been fighting against so hard. So anyway, it happens. And he falls to the ground. And Jesus says these words, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to kick against the goats. And you know what? Who is this on the other end of the phone? Who could this be? Who art thou, Lord? There was no question in his mind who he was talking to. I tell you, when the authority of God comes in the room, you don't have to ask this question. You will know that it's God and God alone. There's things that only God can do. And then gives him instruction. He says, It's hard for you to kick against the goads. But here's the most important thing I'm going to say to you today. His response is, what will you have me to do? Repeat after me. What will you have me to do? Every person needs to, from the sincerity of their heart, ask God that question. And you know what? He'll never leave it blank. If you're sincere, he will tell you what to do. Some of you won't ask the question because you already know. Some of you, God's been telling you for a long time, break off that relationship. Oh, I'm going to get personal now, Jesus. Let him go, let her go. Let it go. And it has all different types of facets. It could have come from a jar, come from a pipe, it could come from, well, you know what I'm talking about. Come on a screen. It's going to get ugly, folks. It was the answer, and he says, who are the Lord? He says, I am Jesus. And it was the answer to the question as to why people were willing to risk their entire lives to follow him. He says, I'm Jesus. My question to you, are you willing to risk your life to follow Jesus? And so all of a sudden, and I think Saul is a pretty smart guy. He says, this is the guy that we're putting people in jail, we're taking their livelihood away and this type of thing, and these people are still wanting to follow Jesus. That's somebody you really want to get to know. Well, he's ready to surrender everything. A couple other things. Once we experience shipwreck of all the things that we thought were right, we are ready to have an encounter with the Lord. I think there's nothing more probably devastating for anybody is to discover you've been wrong all your life. Growing up in a household of things, of people, and, you know, my mom was a very strong believer. My dad was not to my knowledge. But I'll tell you one thing about it. When it finally came down to it, there were certain principles that I found out later on, just before he died. This is kind of interesting. And my sister's here today. She can verify this. Before my dad died, he was dying of cancer, and we were home caring over at a house. One afternoon, he called my sister in, told her to sit down, and he had her sit down, and my dad started singing hymns that he had learned when he was a kid. I never heard him sing a hymn in my entire life. But there was something that was deposited in his spirit a long time before then. That when it's really coming down to the end, you find out what is real and what's not. When you're about ready to cross over, you're finding out, you know, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus, on Christ the solid rock. I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. When it comes down to it, you'll find out what's real. And nearly, my sister would know a little bit more about this, but as far as we know, there wasn't too much he said after that particular point. He gave his concert. And those are some of the last words that he spoke, and then from then on, he is ushered in the kingdom to let you know, you can live a crazy life, but all of a sudden, when it really counts for something, Jesus will appear on the scene. Oh, yes, he will. Yes, he will. What do you want me to do should be your daily request. But let me skip down to this last part because I want to finish very strong today. He says, we must be willing to abandon the things that we have held on to all our lives as truth and get to know the only truth that's in the person of Jesus. Here's my question. What are you holding on to? And get away from persons. I'm talking about ideology. There's some people right now sitting in this room that are looking for equality, you know, whether it's ethnically, whether it's financially, whether it's, you know, politically, it doesn't matter. And if that's your goal in life, you're going to be painfully disappointed. Because it's only for this particular regime that's incredible. And then the next person comes and says, oh, we're not going to do that no more. They're going to strike, all that stuff. And your life's into a tailspin. There's only one person you can believe in that takes care of everything in your life, and that is Jesus Christ himself. The Bible says, in him there is no disappointment. And so that's what it's all about. But in the finality of all these things, here's an issue. Is that every day is an opportunity to preach our last sermon. Every day. And ever since the Lord kind of revealed this to me the early part of this week, so I was out doing something the other day, and this person comes up to me. And I said, God, what am I supposed to say to this person? Because this may be the last time I ever see him. And God said, don't get so crazy. Just hold on. Because I'm ready to pull out my Bible and say, here we go. You know what I'm talking about? The way you live. And when you're open to the Holy Spirit, he will tell you, but you must be willing to open your mouth and say it. You don't have to create something. Because some people are kind of robotic. I'm a Christian. My name is Bill. I'm a Christian. And my job is to let you know that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. If you don't accept it, you're going to go to hell. Would you sign this piece of paper here that I told you that? And so you'll be totally, really? You're a knucklehead. I'm talking about living the life of the Spirit. And you know what's so amazing about it is that you won't have to worry about what you're going to say. Just be willing to say it. My good friend Jim here, I love that man. Because he'll be at something, he'll be at Starbucks and stuff, and he'll just strike up a conversation like he's this is a best friend. Like, how you doing? Isn't Jesus wonderful? Like, what? What'd you just say? What? If Jesus is your best friend, why don't you talk about him like your best friend? Like he's I know this guy named Jesus. I'm not really too close to him, but I've heard about him. I've heard he's really, really a wonderful. No, you got to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Then you can talk about him. And I tell you, here's where you start from. Start from where he delivered you from. Tell him your testimony. And every one of you got a testimony. I wish I hadn't had another hour I could finish this thing, but I only got about 10 minutes, 5 actually. Acts chapter 9, verse 20, here we go. Immediately he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. I'm skipping through some things that happened because I need to finish this story here. So after Saul comes to this particular place and he's actually on the road to Damascus, he was stricken blind. Someone had to lead him to a particular place. And so he ends up at Ananias' house, and Ananias is scared to death to deal with this dude. Because he's heard all the stories about him. This is a guy that locks people up and puts them in jail and this type of thing. But here's an interesting piece about this whole thing, is that he is immediately transformed. So Ananias was directed by the Lord to bring Saul into his destiny. And you'll find this, so Ananias is one who has to take a step of faith to believe that God really has transformed this guy who's killing folks. Really? Now, I need to tell you this. There are some people that don't believe you'll ever get saved. Because you're such a rascal now. You say, really? Come on. You say, no. I know what you like. I know what you. It's the power of God. So he chose to believe and trust with the vision. So Ananias has a confirmation. I got to take you to a little place where he talks about this. So Ananias, in verse 17 of chapter 9, says this. And the Lord says, verse 15. He says, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear the name of before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my namesake. Now, verse 17 says this. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus has appeared to you on the road as you came, and has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Whoa! Are you willing to receive a message from God over somebody that you would say, I don't want to be going, Saul? Wow. Worship team, make your way up here because I want to close this thing off. Every day of our life is an opportunity to turn what we thought was shipwreck into Jesus' appointment for our life. I want to tell you three or four things that I want you to do. And here's the thing. I'm going to give you about four or five. I want you to just pick one. Don't pick five. Pick one. The first one would be this. Be prepared to preach your best sermon. Because you may only get one chance. Don't mess it up. Don't allow fear to sidetrack you. Don't allow embarrassment to keep you from doing what God's called you to do. Be willing to preach your best sermon. Here's another little piece that I can add to that. Remember, pick one. You must not allow fear to prevent you from sharing the truth of who you know Jesus to be. Because I'm going to tell you right now, some people you'll share your story with will never talk to you again. You know what I'm saying? They'll kind of avoid you in the break room. You said your stuff here, they're going to be sitting over there. Because you are a fanatic. And they don't want to catch the virus, right? What about this? You get to pick one. We must recognize the presence of Jesus constantly with you, looking down from heaven in approval of your dedication. How many of you know Jesus is here right now? No, how many of you know that? He's here right now. Here's the deal. Jesus says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And I want to talk to you for these last few moments about people who felt abandoned, who forsaken. I said, I just couldn't live for someone like this because there's too many things in the world and I'm trying to make it on my own. He says, I'll never leave you. My presence is going to be with you. What about the way Stephen died? He was actually rocked to sleep. They threw stones at him. But somehow Jesus was there, who took the blow and he fell down calling on the name of the Lord. Every head bowed, every eye closed. There's something really amazing happening at this moment. I want you to listen to the word I'm going to say. Some of you need to do something you've never done before. And that's something you've never done before is to trust the power of God in your situation to handle what you have not been able to handle. Because you've tried and it hasn't worked. I'm going to pray, and at the end of my prayer, I'm praying specifically for those people who have done their very best, the very best they know how, to change a circumstance, a situation in their life, and it has not worked. Jesus is not someone you try. He's someone you trust to do that which you think is impossible. I want everybody praying with me right now because at the conclusion of my prayer, some people are going to be set free to do some things they've never been able to do before. Holy Spirit, I feel and I'm the pain of people that are sitting in this room right now who have tried programs, who've tried relationships, who've tried a reorganization of their thought process to no avail And right now they're in a place where they're lost and they're disconnected from your presence. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I break that off of them right now. I speak hope. I speak life. I speak power. I speak deliverance in the name of Jesus. Because, Lord, you're our only hope. And, Lord, for those who feel like they've done the unpardonable sin that you're not even interested in, Lord, I would rebuke that lie off of them right now, that you are able to do exceedingly above what they could ask, think, or even imagine. In the name of Jesus, I wipe that out of their life right now. With every head bowed, with every eye closed, you're here today, and this is your day to get it together. Or I should say, to let go and let God do it. If you're willing to trust God to do that, I want you to lift your hand right now. Say, I'm going to let God do it today. Lift it up high where I can see it. Stand to your feet right now. Stand up right now. Stand up, stand up, stand up, stand up. Stand up right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.